Okay, we'll start Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, three lines from the end of the page. Okay, the Gemara was in the middle of discussing that there's three people that are believed for various different things. For instance, the midwife is believed to say this baby is a Kohen Levi Yisroel, this is a Mamzer. And then the second thing the Gemara is discussing, what we're up to now. Naman Baal Mekach Leimad, the seller of merchandise. Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, three lines in the end of the page. Because we just stopped off in the middle. Naman Baal Mekach Leimad, a person, the seller is believed to say, L'zeh Mecharti V'L'zeh Ein Mecharti. This guy I did sell the object to. In other words, like this. Two people leave a store and they're fighting over who bought the object. This one said I bought it. This one said I bought it. Obviously, it was the last object to buy. So he's believed, the seller is believed to say who he sold it to. When he's, the seller is still holding on to the merchandise. Once the merchandise leaves the seller's hand, he's not believed anymore. Okay, that's top of Ayin Dalet. So the Gemara asks, "What do you mean? V'nechzus is manokat? Why don't we see who he gave the money? He took money from? I'm the seller. You two are fighting. Who bought it? Okay, you say you bought it. You say you bought it. So as long as I'm holding the merchandise, I'm believed to say I sold it to you or to him. Yeah. So the Gemara says, why don't you look who gave the money? That will tell us who bought it." So the Gemara answers like Tzricha the Nokat Mitavayu. He took money from both of them. The real Jewish seller. He took money from both. But Amar the seller says Chad Min Datoy. One money I took willingly. The Chad Bal Korchum was against my will. In other words, one guy I wanted to sell it to, and one guy I didn't want to sell it to. But he forced me to take the money. So the din is he has money from both guys. So as long as the merchandise is in the seller's hand, he's believed to say, I sold it to you. Once he leaves it go, he's not believed anymore. Okay?
So right now, the
money is not important? When you get the money, it's not in his hand.
If the merchandise is not in his hand anymore, he's not believed.
He's not believed?
No.
Who has the merchandise?
Right now? Yeah. Well, that's the case of the Gemara. If the seller has the merchandise, and he took money from both of them, and each one saying, no, you sold it to me, he's believed to say, the seller is believed to say, I sold it to you and not to you.
Okay.
But once he gives the merchandise and they leave the store, he doesn't think anymore who he sold it to. It's gone out of his mind, and he's not believed anymore.
Okay.
That's what the Gemara is saying.
So where the chefetz is, that's where the...
Right. Then that's another case. Neman Dayan Leimad, a judge is believed to say, this litigant is guilty, and this is innocent.
It should be the same time money, or the different time is still the same? It should be the same time money that he ordered, or when he gave one...
Same money, same amount.
The same time.
Yeah. Timings, by the way, the Shainim right, that if he has only money from one, because Gemara asked the question, why does he who gave him the money? So Gemara answers he got from both. But if he got only from one, he's believed to say who gave him the money.
Even though the chafetz is not in his
right
hand.
Now this case is another case. A judge is believed to say this guy is, I found favor for him and not favor for him. When the Baldin, the both litigants are standing in front of him. But if the litigants are not standing in his presence, on top. But if the Balidinim are not standing in front of him, he's not believed anymore. Okay? In other words, as long as the litigants are in front of him, the judge is responsible to know who's innocent, who's guilty. So therefore, he'll remember. Once they leave, he forgot already the case. You know, that's it. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. Why don't we see, because the din was like this. They used to write the Psak Din. the yisterate the psak, and the guy that was I don't want to say innocent, the guy who won the case, he would have a paper from the judge that he won the case, right? He needed proof that he won the case, b'chlal, right? To go collect later, whatever it is. So the Gemara says, why didn't you see which one has the document that he won the case? So the Gemara answers, leitzricha dekaris chusayu, that somebody ripped it up already. It was ripped up, so there's no paper to see who's believed. So the Gemara asks, the nadav and the dain, okay, let the judge rejudge the case. What's the big deal? Right, if he heard the case, and he judged, let him rehear the case if we don't
know
who won.
Not in front of him anymore.
Call him back and let them do it.
No, but they are not in the front. But before it said they were in front of him.
So he says, the question is, so let them redo the case by this judge or by another judge. Let them redo the case. So Gemara has an interesting answer. It's speaking b'shuda d'dayna. Shuda d'dayna means it's a case which is judged by the judge's discretion. In other words, in din teiris you have this. Sometimes you have a din teiris, it's clear right and wrong. Sometimes it's not such a clear case. So the judge has to make a discretion who he thinks is right. Okay? So you can't say rejudge the case somewhere else because they might not come to the same decision. The same judge might not even come to the same decision. Because that was his like a gut feeling then he might not come to the same decision. So the Gemara says like this. The dayan is believed as long as the litigants are in front of him, you won, you lost. Once they leave, they're not believed. So the Gemara says, well, let's see who has the sack din that he won. So the Gemara says it was ripped up. By the way, which implies to the Shanim, right? If there was a paper, then the guy that holds the paper obviously is the winner. Because, mm-hmm. Obviously.
With the Shuda the Dainin.
Shuda the Dainin means.
It's in Gemara Babaetra.
It's all over the place.
It's
not. In other words, Shuda the Dainin means you don't paskin on the strict letter of the law, it's the judge's understanding of the case. Okay, he brings down at the bottom the classic example of this. The Gemara says in Ksuvah, a case like this. A guy left over in his will his money to his relative called Tuvia. That was the case. He said, I leave over my money to my relative Tuvia. The guy dies. Shem helps. He has two relatives called Tuvia. Okay? Now, each one comes and says, hey, says here, Tuvia. Now, there's no legal way of proving either way. But a judge over there uses discretion. This guy's a closer relative. This guy's a more distant relative. So the judge will say, logically, it makes sense that he gave it to Tuvia 1 instead of Tuvia 2. That's not clear-cut halacha. That's the assumption of the judge. So he can't retract it, And secondly, like they say, the guy that won the case, why should he have it rejudged? He won not because the merit of the halacha. He won the merit of the discretion of the judge. So why should he risk losing the case again? Not again, but lose the case. Well, that's what the Gemara says. The judge would be believed as long as the litigants are still in front of him. Okay, now the Gemara says, Amir Rav Nachman. Shloisha namonim al abchor. Three people are believed to say that this baby was born first. Now, what relevance is the baby being born first? Number one, is he abchor? So you have to know, number one, does he get double inheritance? Does he have to fast Erev Pesach? Is he abchor or not? You need to know. So three people are believed. And listen to this, what the Gemara says. Chaya aviv imbe. Chaya is a midwife that delivered the baby and the father and mother. So it says like this. Chaya, the Braises of Rav Nachman says, Nemenes la'alter. A midwife is only believed immediately. That means right after the baby's born, when she delivered it, she's believed to say this is the firstborn. But last time we learned in the Gemara, if it's afterwards she turned her face away, she's not believed anymore.
What do you mean she turned her face away?
She looked in the other direction.
But if she's there when the baby's born...
Yeah, but that's only while she's facing the baby and she sees the baby the whole time. Once she turns her face, it might be a different baby. Listen to this. The mother is believed only for the first 7 days. Miyei mashmin aviv le'olam. Huh?
What is that? Aviv
le'olam? Aviv le'olam. The father is always believed to say, this is the firstborn.
Firstborn?
It's a very weird Gemara.
Is there twins or something?
Well, obviously, either twins or two women are having a baby. You don't know which baby belongs to whom. And, you know, this one would be a Bechor and this one wouldn't be a Bechor.
Why the father
Now that I do
one second, we're not done yet. It's going to say why. So the Gemara says, three people are believed to say a baby is a firstborn. The midwife only immediately after birth, and then she's not believed anymore. The mother is believed for the first 7 days. And after the seventh day, meaning after the bris and an, only the father is believed forever to say it's a b'chor. That means if the father contradicts the mother, the din is only the father is believed.
Why do you say
that? So Mary says, why?
Why the bris? Why did you say it was a bris?
Because the father is believed even afterwards.
No, I'm saying, so why did you attach 7 days? What does that have to do with bris?
No, because it says, the father is only believed after the 7 days. Rashi says, why all 7 days? Sha'adayin ein aviv makabai. Because the father doesn't recognize the baby because it never left the mother for the first 7 days. Therefore, when it says lo'elam, it means after the 7 days. The chaya, the midwife, is believed immediately from birth. Right afterwards, she's not believed, but the mother is believed for the first 7 days. And only the mother is believed. After 7 days, then only the father is believed. So it says why?
Raya, that they have the guys have to wake up every night and take care of.
Kedetanya, no, Kedetanya, like it says in the Braisim, it says kibena b'chorasnu a yakir. Yakir means yakireno la'achedim. He shall recognize the firstborn, meaning yakireno not only for himself, but he can make it for others. Meaning, as Rashi explains, yakireno la'achedim means that he has a responsibility to know that this is his firstborn. That's what the Torah is saying. Mikan Amar Rabbi Yehuda. From here, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Naman adam leimer zebni b'chod," that this is my firstborn son. Ukshem shenaman leimer zebni b'chod, and then he continues. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Just like a man is believed to say this is my firstborn child, kach naman he's also believed to say zeben grusha ben chalutza." A father is believed to say this kid is the son of a divorcee if he's a kohen. That means he's not a kosher kid.
About his
own kid. But he's not believed. Okay? Meaning, a father, this is what Rashi says, a father is believed to say, my son's a firstborn. But the Chachamim hold, a father is not believed to disqualify his kid. Because the father says, he's a kohen, right? He says, my wife, whose kid was the mother of this baby, is a grusha or a chalutza. She had chalitza and he also cannot marry a kohen. That Rabbi Yehuda says he's believed, and the Chacham says he's not believed. But according to all opinions, a father is believed to say, this is my firstborn son. Forever. And therefore, the father says he's a b'chor. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Abba Shaul, the Gemara is going back to what it said in the Mishnah, that Abba Shaul would call a shtuki a beduki. Remember, shtuki is when you ask the kid, who's your father?
Listen.
Silent. So the Gemara, and the Mishnah said that Abba Shaul called a shtuki a beduki. That's what it said in the Mishnah.
Yeah, because we just said the father doesn't... There is no father to say that it's my son, Leolam.
Huh? No, but he says... What do you mean?
No, it's interesting. The Gemara before said the koach of a father. Now that he doesn't have a father...
No.
Nobody is behind him to tell him who he is.
Yeah, nobody knows who the kid is. To search. Yeah, yeah, that's what it means. Here, or going all the way back, all the way to the beginning of the Mishnah. Abishol called a beduki. So the Gemara's going to explain, what does this mean? Why is he calling him a beduki? So it says, my beduki. What does beduki mean? Says, if you check out the mother, they met us the Koshin Ivalti Namenis. And the mother says it was a Mikosha man that she's believed. Command, which opinion holds like that? Meaning like this. A shtuki is when you ask the mother, I'm sorry, yes, the kid, who's your father?
Yeah,
he's quiet. Okay? So when the Abishol says, he used to call a shtuki a beduki. Now, beduki means to check it out. So he says, what does that mean? You ask the mother who's the father, and if the mother says he was a kosher Jew, meaning, you know, not a mamzer, not a nisin, not a, you know, not a problematic Jew, so then the kid's kosher. So the Gemara says, is that what Abishol means? So the Gemara says, which opinion holds like that? So Gemara says, Rabban Gamliel. So it goes according to Rabban Gamliel. So Gemara says, but Tanina Chadazimna, we already learned that already in the Mishnah, that a woman is believed to say, the guy I lived with to create this baby is a kosher Jew.
It's a single end. And it's a woman.
So what? But like we said, many times Eid Achor is believed.
But it's a woman also.
They're believed for the positive, but they cannot incriminate and say no.
Correct.
And the father was saying, the father cannot...
Well, that was the question. Can a father... That was the argument we just did between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda said, a father is believed to disqualify his son. Rabbi Yehuda says, if a Kohen says, this son of mine, his mother is a Gerusha, so he's not a kosher Kohen, he's believed. Chachamim said, he's not believed to passel somebody else. He can only passel himself.
He can pass with himself, not his son.
Right. I'll give you another example. What happens if you have a father as a Kohen, okay, and has a son. So the son's a Kohen. Then the father wakes up one day and says, I'm not a Kohen. Does he have the ability to disqualify his son who until now was a Kohen to say you're not a Kohen? No.
What? So, but he himself is not Kohen.
He could disqualify himself. Who said he can disqualify his kid? Is he believed? That's what the Chachamim hold. He's not believed to disqualify the kid.
Say I'm not Kohen. Why would he do that?
Huh?
Why would he do that?
Because then he could do funerals and make a lot of money.
Huh?
That's not a joke.
So,
no. It's not a joke.
It's not a joke. But either he is or he's not. If we don't. If we say we accept what he says about himself,
that's the question. Do we believe a person to disqualify somebody else?
Can disqualify the kid that is underage?
There's in fact in the Gemara you have a concept called Palgin and Dibori. You even split the guy's words. Okay? We learned before, a person is not believed to incriminate himself. The guy comes to Ben and says, I ate chazer, give me malchus, we don't give him. The guy says to Ben, I killed somebody, he can't incriminate himself. Correct? What happens over there, the case was plainly Nirvani at Litzaini, which means he sodomized. Now for homosexuality, it's capital punishment. Yep. What happens if a guy says, this guy did it with me. Okay, now, is he believed on himself?
He shouldn't, right? Shouldn't be wrong.
He's not believed on himself. Is he believed as one witness to say the other guy did do it? That if another witness comes and says he did it, that you can give him punishment?
You need two witnesses, right?
Yes, I'm saying.
Then he goes back on him also.
No, yeah, and he's not believed. And on him, there's only one witness. Hmm. Instead, but a guy says, this guy committed a sin with me. So you can't have it by a woman committing adultery because a woman's not believed as a witness, okay? But let's say a man did something which would be capital punishment, right? And the guy says, Reuven says, Shimon did it with me. So he's incriminating himself. So he's not believed on himself, right? So the question is he believed that Shimon did it? And then if another witness comes and says, yes, Shimon did it with Reuven, so now there's two witnesses that Shimon committed a guilt, I mean an aveda. But the question is, do we split his words? Because if he says, I did it with him, see, that I did it, he's not believed. So do we disqualify the whole thing? Oh, so he's not believed with him either? Or do we cut his words in half? Hmm. I did it, you don't believe in.
Well, now
and the Gemara says, Pogin in the Buddha, you do.
He became a relative because of Adam and Steve.
No, that was Adam and Steve, but this is...
You say you do, meaning what? You do split his words?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Halacha is used to split his words. So therefore, he would be one witness as against Shimon, and then if another witness says Shimon did it, then you have two witnesses.
That's
for Shimon. So not always are you believed to say, because if a guy has a chazaka for being a kohen, right? He has a chazaka being a kohen, then there's an assumption he's a kohen. The question is, can a father come along now and say, no, he's not a kohen because I'm not a kohen? So many times you have an aloch, there's a concept, the father is believed on himself but not on somebody else.
If he, we just said that we cannot bring on his own. I mean, to do
the
chachamim
hold he's not believed to pass on his son.
Yeah, and not himself either. He's
no, himself he could.
We just said that a person cannot mechayiv himself.
He can't be mechayiv himself punishment, but he can make himself a non-kosher kohen.
If he makes himself possible, that automatically the son is. Let's say if he says, like, you know,
that's what I'm saying.
Which what it says, I found out that I was a mamzer. Then automatically the son is a mamzer. No?
The question is, no, not necessarily.
No?
Is he believed that the son is a mamzer?
If
there's two witnesses that there was a mamzer, this is the story. But it's a person believed. That's what he says. The Rabbi Yehuda says, just like he's believed to say he's a b'chor, he's believed to say he's a ben grusha ben chalutza. But then the Chachamim say you can't. Okay.
If the one of them, the woman is not accepted, that kind of witness, yeah?
Huh?
The ladies come and did it to me, and somebody else also say that, is not acceptable.
No. Because a woman is not believed as a witness.
And she can incriminate herself.
For instance, if a woman comes to Beis Din, yeah, a married woman, Eish es Ish, and she says, Reuven was with me. Okay? Now that's capital punishment. Correct? Is she believed as a witness?
No.
No.
You need two witnesses.
Right. Again, to give capital punishment, it's also a woman's not a kosher witness. Correct? So what happens if she says, Reuven slept with me, so on herself she's not believed. Okay. So now what happens if another witness comes and says, Reuven slept with that lady? You still only have one witness.
Well, she's not a kosher witness.
That's what he said of the case of the two men, so a man's a kosher witness, but in this case, Reuven wouldn't get killed anyway unless you have two more witnesses.
What if another guy came along and said he saw it, then Reuven somehow says, okay, I did it.
Not believed.
Not believed?
No.
The United States is acceptable, yeah?
The United States is the best proof. If a guy says, I killed somebody, you believe him. Admission. No, the guy comes to court today and says, I killed him. Of course they kill him.
The woman. The case of the woman.
Sure she believed. In America, for adultery, they don't do anything.
They used to,
not anymore. They're supposed to, but they don't.
Yeah, but...
It's not illegal anymore.
Used to be morally incorrect.
Yeah, but also legally.
Yeah, I
mean... Going back to the case with Shimon, is there anything that would disqualify him as a witness? You know, what? Any act that you say split his words? Okay, so okay, fine. You won't accept his testimony against himself.
But you believe that Reuven did what Shimon said he did.
Mm-hmm. Because there is another witness.
Okay, but it would.
No, without the question, conceptual. Yeah.
But does he disqualify himself in any way as a witness? No, he's not.
He's not believed in himself in any way whatsoever.
He's still a valid witness.
For the other guy. But not for himself. Okay, so Gemara says like this. If you want to believe that the mother, if you're going to say, what does Beduki mean? That you ask the mother who she was with. And that's Rabbi Gamliel. So Gemara said, "Tanin echad zimna." We already learned that in a Braisa, in a Mishnah. The Tanin, there's a Mishnah like this: Haisim ubedis. If an unmarried woman was pregnant, okay, an unmarried woman was pregnant. Va'amro, and the people said to her, "Mativa shobezeh." What's the nature of this fetus? Kosher, not kosher. Amlo miish pleini. Listen, this man, and he's a kohen. Okay. In other words, as Rashi explains, it doesn't mean a kohen. It means a kosher guy. Okay? So you find a pregnant woman, unmarried, and you ask her, who's the father? She says, a kosher guy. The din is namenis. I mean, sorry. Ram Gamliel Rabbi Eliezer, amen namenis. Ram Gamliel Rabbi Eliezer says she's believed. Rabbi Yeshua says, Laimi pianuchayim. We don't live from her mouth. Meaning, she's not believed. And the Gemara says, that she is believed. Right? So the question is, why does Abba Shaul and our Mishnah have to tell us that a beduki means you ask the mother, and if she says it was from a kosher guy, you believe her? We have that in another Mishnah already. That Ram Gamliel Rabbi Eliezer says that they're believed. So the Gemara says like this, Chad lahach sheba, v'chad lahach shebebita. Meaning like this. The Mishnah of Rambam Gamliel says she's believed for herself that she's still permissible to marry a kohen. Our Mishnah is speaking that she's believed that the kid is a kosher kid. Meaning like this. If a woman lived with a man she's not allowed to marry, that renders her a zona. Okay, a zona in English is rather a prostitute, but a zona means a woman who had relations with somebody she would not be allowed to marry. If she had relations with somebody that she's not allowed to marry, she becomes what's called a zona. She cannot marry a kohen.
But she can marry somebody else.
Yeah. But now the question is like this. An unmarried woman is pregnant. So obviously she was with somebody. Okay. So now the question is, you ask her, no, who's this baby? Who's it from? She says, kosher Jew. So Ram Gamliel says, this way the Gemara is that she can still marry a kohen. She's believed on herself to say she can marry a kohen. What does Abba Shaul say in our Mishnah, that Beduki, when you ask the mother and she says it, that's talking about the kid. That the kid is a kosher kid. So there's two things over here. One is telling us that she's believed on herself to say she's kosher. And our Mishnah, that's Ram Gamliel's Mishnah, and our Mishnah of Abba Shaul is telling us she's believed to say that the kid is a kosher kid.
Unmarried is kosher?
Yeah, unmarried.
Unmarried kosher?
Yeah.
She's believed because she won't lie. So if later on it's discovered that...
The question is,
without ketubah or anything, it's kosher?
What do you mean kosher? The kid's a kosher kid.
Kosher kid means there's no father that doesn't have anything.
He has a father.
We don't know,
but there's a father somewhere.
We know he has a father.
No, believe it, she said it's a kosher.
She's believed on herself, and over there she's believed on the kid. That if the kid is a girl, she can marry a kohen.
The result is the same. If she
No, the mother says no. Hey, Nichol Amandi Omar. That's only good according to the opinion that says Hamar Shibba Paisel Bebita. That if she declares that she's fit, but her kid isn't, then it's a problem. Because then the kid's not a kosher kid. In other words, like this. If Ram Gamliel, there's an argument, does Ram Gamliel only mean about her or her daughter? So if Ram Gamliel says only she's kosher, then it's understood. Abba Shah and Amishnah says the kid's also kosher. But if Ram Gamliel says the mother and the daughter are both kosher, so what's Abba Shah saying? In other words, when Ram Gamliel says in his Mishnah that the woman is believed, one opinion says she's believed on herself, but not on her kid. The case is a woman's pregnant, they ask her, who's this kid? So when she says a kosher man, so one opinion says, Ram Gamliel says she's only believed on herself, but not on the kid. So then it makes sense, Abba Shaul and our Mishnah says, even on the kid she's believed. But if the opinion that Ram Gamliel speaks about the mother and the daughter, that they're both kosher, so when Ram Gamliel says she's believed, it means mother and daughter are both. So what's Abba Shaul saying? That's what Ram Gamliel said. Right. The Gemara answered, one is about her, one's about the kid. But if you hold the mother and the kid as the same din and they're both kosher, so then what's Abba Shaul saying? Ram Gamliel already said it. So the Gemara says, Abba Shaul adifa min Ram Gamliel. The Gemara says, Abba Shaul's even better than Gamliel. The Emi hasam, because from Ram Gamliel, havamina hasam, reiv kshei de metzla. Most men in the city are fit to be with her. But in the case where the majority of the city would be mamzeidim, maybe she wouldn't be believed. So Ram Gamliel says, and Abba Shaul says, even then she's believed. That means, the Gemara is saying like this, Abba Shaul says, not only if the majority of the city are kosher men, is she believed to say it's a kosher guy, even if the majority of the city is non-kosher guys, mamzeidim, goyim, whatever, she's still believed to say that the husband's kosher, the father is kosher.
So the top in masa doesn't work here.
It's a, right. You don't go by Rov.
No, you do. You don't go by Rov.
Right.
What was the other?
The moment you don't go after Rov. Amirav alocha kabashol, alocha ze kabashol, that the woman is always believed. That's why, like we said today, in today's world, a girl that lives with a guy, because she can't marry the guy, so therefore what din does she have?
Zona.
She has a din of a zayna, so she cannot marry a kohen.
If she doesn't tell you about it.
There's another question, don't ask, don't tell. Is this the military? No, but if you know a woman lived with a guy, a girl, yeah? Live with a guy, she can't marry a kohen. Why? Because she lived with a guy she can't marry. Because he's a guy. And even if it's once.
And if she says so, you believe her, but you can't, or she cannot incriminate herself, can she?
Again, she can't incriminate herself to be punished, but she can make herself what's called Shavi Anafshe Chaticha de Isura. Like we learned in the Chumash. If a woman makes a vow, I'm not going to eat meat. Meat becomes trey for me. Okay? It's like a vow. If a woman says, I lived with a guy, she's not believed to get punished or all that. But she's saying on herself, a kohen is forbidden for me. And for that she's believed.
But she doesn't...
Not for punishment.
But if she doesn't admit it, if she doesn't want to admit that, then she marries a kohen, then what happens?
One second, I'll give you another example. If a woman comes along... Okay, there's a din. A married woman who commits adultery, asura labal, asura labayil. Right? She can't stay, she's not allowed to stay married to the husband. She willingly did it. and she cannot live, marry the guy that she was with. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, what happens if a woman comes, a married woman says, I committed adultery with Jack. Yeah? So, you don't believe her, is she going to get death penalty? No. But if her husband divorces her, can she marry Jack?
The goy, Jack is...
No, good.
The husband could also say, I don't believe you.
The husband's supposed to say, I don't believe him. Okay. If he believes her, then he can't stay married. But I'm saying, what happens if the husband believed her? And because of that, he's divorcing her. Now, is she believed to get punishment from Beis Din? Killing for committing adultery? No. But she can't marry Jack, the Jewish Jack, because she forbid him on her. It's not a question of belief. It's a question of forbidding on yourself something that might not be forbidden, but you forbid it.
Let me ask you a question. So a girl comes to you and says, I want to get married.
That's the seven of
you have to ask her whether she slept with and let's say a BT, a girl who becomes religious.
Wants to marry a Kohen?
Yeah.
Some rabbis ask, some rabbis don't ask.
Would you ask the question if you slept with a
I don't answer personal questions. Depends what mood I'm in.
That's a what?
No, you have to ask a girl, excuse me. You know. A lot of times...
People ask that question?
No, a lot of times girls will call me. I need to know if I can marry a Kohen. I don't know they are. They call up. I need to know if I'm allowed to marry a Kohen. So I say to her, I'm going to tell you who is not allowed to marry a Kohen. So they say a guy, the woman that slept with a guy, a divorcee, you know, all the various different types of people. And that's it. That's where the conversation ends.
Right. You don't have to get personal.
Politicians.
Right. I don't say, well, did you live with it? These are the people that a girl can't live. And if a girl says to the afterwards, I'm kosher l'kayin, then she believes. They'll be learning. The man is, she's believed.
Okay. But most members would ask a question.
A lot of people would.
Yeah.
Okay. Ishna.
It should be a virgin, not the
Kohen. Only a Kohen Gadol.
Okay.
Only a Kohen Gadol has to marry a virgin.
Yeah, but how? But how do you know? You say you get married at 20, right? You get married at 20. Well, that's true. Yeah. Well, if you're Kohen, and you get married at 20, who knows? 40, 50 years later, you become the Kohen Gadol. Right? Who knows?
It's a problem.
Well, what problem is that? If you marry the same woman for 50 years and you become Kohen Gadol.
Yeah, tackle. What's the
then if they retire, like the guy in the Rome over there, they get another one.
Well, they're getting another one next month.
Right? Yeah. But you're interested, you can get a job.
Well, you
put on a red one.
With the red yarmulkes, yeah.
Really? See, what happens? The Kohen Gadol has to divorce the wife.
No.
Everybody is from England.
Okay. Okay. Mishnah. Kol asur lovi b'kol. All of those that are forbidden to marry, you know, like we learned before, mams in the sin, all those. Mutarim lovi zebezeh. Are allowed to intermarry themselves. That means one mamzer can marry another mamzer. Shtukim, right? Okay. That means a mamzer can marry a shtuki can marry a mamzer, all that. Rabbi Yehuda Eser. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, they cannot intermarry. A shtuki has to marry a shtuki, a mamzer has to marry a mamzer, and that's it. Rabbi Lazar Eimer, Rabbi Lazar says like this. Vadi bevadai, if they're definitely, meaning, mamzeinu with nesinim, okay, can marry each other. But, vadi besveken, marriages that is forbidden because of those is uncertain, like mamzer in the scene with a shtuki or a sufi, then for sure not. Usfeikim bevadai, or a doubt, I'll explain in a second, with a definite, or doubt in a doubt, also all those are forbidden. Meaning like this. Shtuki, like we learned, yeah? You ask a kid, who's your father, he doesn't know.
It's a suffix.
He doesn't know. It's a suffix. It's not for sure no good. Maybe the guy's kosher. Can he marry a mamzer?
No.
No, because a mamzer for sure no good. And this, so, the first opinion says they could, a shtuki and a mamzer can get married. This is for sure and this is a doubt, the Yotzi can get married. The Yehuda says, no, they cannot intermarry. Because one's definite, one's a doubt. How can you do that? So the Rabbi Loza explains, if it's Vadi Bevadai, like he says, a mom's a witness in a sin, the sin for sure is no good, they can marry. But a shtuki with a mamzer, a shtuki is a suffix if it's good or not. We don't know. We don't know who the father is. Or in a Sufi, you find a kid in the street, you don't know, not the father, not the mother. It's not for sure no good. Maybe it is. So then they can't intermarry. The Elohim Asfakis. These are the uncertain guys. Shtuki, a Sufi, and Kusi. Okay? Like we said, shtuki and a Sufi are maybe mamzers or not. The Kusims converted to Yiddishkeit and there's a questionable conversion. So they're a doubt. So that's the story. Okay? So basically this Mishnah is saying that all the forbidden people can intermarry or in some, well, the different opinions that they can if they can't and so on. So the Gemara says, "My kol asur lovei beko." What does it mean, kol asur? It says, whoever is asur lovei beko, what does that include? If you tell me it means a mamzer with a shtuki and a sini, it said at the beginning of the parak that they could marry. And if you're telling me mamzerim unesini shtuki vasufi mutam love is abezem, it said in this is the question. In the first mission of the paddock, it already said, Nesini, Mamzeiri, Shtuki, Asufi can marry each other. So what's this Mishnah saying the same statement again? The Suan, another question. Rabbi Yehuda, Eser, Rabbi Yehuda says they cannot intermarry. Ahai, which case is he referring to? Ilem Avadi Besveke, if you tell me Avadi Mamze with a suffix Shtuki, it says Rabbi Lazar Eim Avadi Bevadi Mutter. A mamzer with a nesin or a mamzer with a mamzer can marry, but a doubtful not. Mechlad Rabbi Yehuda only svirali. That means Rabbi Yehuda doesn't accept the ruling. So the Gemara says like this: this Mishnah doesn't make sense. The Gemara is asking. The first part of the Mishnah says all the no goodniks can marry. So the Gemara says the first Mishnah in the parak said that did. Secondly, Rabbi Yehuda says no. Okay. Now, what does that mean? No. Of what, definite with a doubt? Well, that's what Rabbi Eliezer says in the next half of the Mishnah.
None of them at all.
So, like, who's he talking about? And v'chitem, if you're going to tell me, Rabbi Yehuda eser ger b'mamzeres, that a ger cannot marry a mamzeres, it says, me the ger b'mamzeres katani. It doesn't say anywhere ger b'mamzeres. It says, kol asurim lovi b'kol. Anybody. Right? So it can't be a convert, because a convert could marry a Jewish person. So what do you mean, asurim lovi b'kol? So like, what are we talking about over here? The whole mission the Gemara is asking really doesn't make sense. What cases are we talking about? If you're talking about a mamzer, the first half of the Mishnah said it. If you're talking about doubts and definites, so Rabbi Lezer covered that at the end of the Mishnah. What is Rabbi Yehuda talking about? What does he forbid? A ger? A ger is not included in this Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, whoever cannot marry a Jew, can enter. But a geirus can marry a Jew. A ger can marry a Jew. Like, what's the whole issue over here? And Rav Yehuda explains it like this. Hachi, comma, this is what it... Huh? Next page. Hachi, 74b1. This is what it means. And here the Gemara goes into a very interesting discussion. It doesn't mean in the Jewish. It means whoever cannot marry a Kohen. My Nino, who is that? Okay, let me explain this then before we see it inside. It's a very interesting dinner. By the way, this could be practical today also. A Kohen cannot marry a Geyeris, because the assumption was before she became Jewish, they're very promiscuous, and who knows what they did. So a Kohen can't marry them. How about a girl who converted under three? under three.
Normally, I thought you have to be at the age that you know that you
want. No, one second. Now, under three, any sexual relation is not counted as. The Gemara says the virginity comes back. So, just give you the practical case over here: a family adopted a baby. Okay, Jewish family adopts a baby. What do you do if the baby's not Jewish? You convert the baby. As soon as the baby is old enough to dunk in the mikveh, which is usually about 6 weeks old, okay, father goes in the mikveh with the baby and they dunk in and out a few times in the front of a bezdin, and this, the baby is converted. The only thing is that because he converted as a kid, the day of the bas mitzvah, if they come along and say, I don't want to be Jewish, they're not Jewish anymore.
I'm supposed to tell them.
So what you do is you tell them on the day of the bat mitzvah, isn't it nice to be a Jew? And they say, yeah, it's a wonder they have a party here. It's so nice to be a Jew. And then they're Jewish. But on the day of the bat mitzvah, but until then, she's a Jewish kid. Now, can that girl who converted under three marry a Kohen?
Yes.
So the Gemara is going to say no. To machlokes, but
under the three, under
the girl who converted, a kohen cannot marry a geyerus.
Okay.
How about a geyerus under three? What the reason why a kohen can't marry a geyerus is because she was fooling around. But a girl under three doesn't matter. So, question: could a kohen marry? So, the Rav Yehuda is explaining our Mishnah in this. Whoever is awesome, love a bekal kuhuna, not bekal. Because that the first Mishnah spoke about. Here he's speaking about kuhuna. Mein hinu, geyedis p'chusa mi bashalun shana v'yemechad. A girl who converted under the age of three. Or the lake at Abshim ben Yochai. Not like the opinion of an Abshim ben Yochai. Okay? Now, Abshim ben Yochai holds that a girl under three could marry a kohen. Why? Because he holds, like we said before, the whole reason a kohen can't marry a geyerus is because they're fooling around. So this girl didn't fool around. So according to Reb Shimon Yochai, there's no reason why a kohen cannot marry a geyerus under three. The Chachamim disagree because they learn out from a different pasuk that a kohen cannot marry a geyerus. Not because she was promiscuous or anything like that. A kohen can't marry a geyer. They learn it out from another pasuk.
And that's how I thought it's always.
One minute. So then mutarim love is a bezem. Meaning a convert is forbidden to marry a kohen, and because of that, she can marry a mamzer, and that Rabbi Yehuda says she can't. That means, what's the Mishnah saying according to Rabbi Yehuda's explanation now? That if a girl converted under three, and she cannot marry a kohen, not like Reb Shimon Yochai, who says she could, who cannot marry a kohen, she can marry a mamzer. She can marry a mamzer. And Reb Yehuda says, no, she can't. She can't marry a mamzer. But the Gemara's whole question was, if you're talking about a person can marry a Jew, the first mission of the Perek spoke all about that. What are you repeating the same thing again? The Gemara says, no, we're talking here about not call Jewish, call kuhuna. Now, so the Gemara says, if that's the case, nukme bebashol shana v'yemachar afil Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So why can't you say the Mishnah is talking about a girl who converted the age of over three, and then it can go even according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai? In other words, like this. Rav Shimon Yochai says a girl converted under three could marry a kohen, right? And therefore, so the Gemara says, okay, but why do you have to say the Mishnah is speaking about under three? Say the Mishnah is speaking about a girl converted after three. She cannot marry a kohen, and therefore she can marry a mamzer. Why do you have to learn the Mishnah, not the Rav Shimon Yochai, and say the kid's converted under three? Say the kid converted after three. And even if Shimon Yochai holds, she cannot marry a kohen, but she can marry a mamzer.
The Mishnah would be the same as before.
No, here we're talking only about kuhuna.
Why do you go straight to marrying a mamzer and not a regular Jew? They could marry a regular Jew. Why are we?
Why is a Geir allowed to marry a mamzer?
Yeah. Why are we going all the way that far?
So it's not similar to the other Mishnah.
Yeah, because yeah, the other Mishnah already talked about it.
Not our Geir, then marrying a Jewish.
Alpi din, a ger can marry a mamzer. A mamzer. But we don't do it because the kids are going to be mamzerim. A ger can marry a mamzer.
It goes after the mother.
It goes after the worst of either one.
They can, but we don't. It's not practical.
Why? Because all you're doing is multiplying mamzerim. So let's say we have an older woman that cannot have kids. Let's say, right? And she's a geyeris. She can marry a mamzer.
If we go according to the reason.
Couldn't a regular lady that cannot have children marry a mamzer?
No.
No. Isn't a mamzer...
One minute. A mamzer you can't marry, period. Not because of kids. But we learned in the first Mishnah, a ger can marry a mamzeres, or a geyeres can marry a mamzer. Okay, that's what it says in the... Why don't we? Because their kids are going to be mamzerim. So instead of two mamzerim, you'll have 10 mamzerim. If they have 8 kids.
But if you can't have kids, you still can't have them without marrying a mamzer.
Right, but I'm saying a ger could marry a mamzer. Or a mamzeres can marry a...
So what's the logic here then? That you cannot marry a Kohen, but...
Reb Shimon Yochai says...
Okay.
See, the Chachamim hold a different thing. There's a pasuk that says, of a psula, Hashem mizera, I'm just translating from the English. It says in Yecheskel, a Kohen can marry only virgins from the seed of the house of Israel. Now, Kahal Hashem excludes converts. That's what the Gemara learns out in Yavamis in different places. Kal Hashem refers only to born Jews, not converts. Okay? Now, when it says, L'yavi mamzer b'kal Hashem, that means a mamzer can marry somebody who's in Kal Hashem. A ger is not Kal Hashem. So technically a mamzer can marry a geyeris. Or a ger can marry a mamzeris. Right? Because he's not Kal Hashem. We don't, because they're going to have kids in Mamzerim. But if they can't have kids, they should be allowed to. But a regular Jew can't marry a Mamzer or Mamzer, you know, even if they're not planning to have kids. It's like a misconception that a lot of people have. You only have to keep mikvah if you're having kids. If you're not having kids, you don't need to keep mikvah. Mikveh has nothing to do with kids. Mikveh is a din of a husband and wife. It has nothing to do with kids.
If someone that can't have children marries a mamzer and they find out about it, they need to divorce.
They need to divorce.
According?
Need to get to?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's only a lav, so it's a valid kedushin. Moment, if a kohen marries a grusha, they have to divorce, but they need a get because... It's only a lav, it's not capital punishment, and then kedushin is effective, so they're married women.
According to Rabbanan, though.
Which Rabbanan?
I mean, why, if they cannot have children...
Which case?
The mamzer and the giyoret.
They could get married.
Oh, they can?
Yeah.
They could even have kids.
No, because the kids would be mamzerim.
Right.
Yeah,
they don't have.
Right.
If they cannot have kids, then yeah.
In other words, if a mamzer marries a mamzeris, a mamzer marries a geyeris, yeah? They fooled a rabbi. Okay? And they got married. Do they have to divorce? No?
Until they have children. No.
There's no sin producing mamzerim. If it's not a forbidden relation.
Why is not? Should be forbidden.
No, but I'm saying if a mamzer marries a mamzeres, which he's allowed to, there's no sin there for them to have kids.
So they
Why is it a sin?
They
You don't do it because you don't want to multiply mamzerim. But why, there's no sin from mamzer to marry mamzeris and have kids.
They're coming from the sea.
No, so?
So?
They come from where?
The whole world comes from Mamzerim.
Once we get married after.
Where do we come from?
Adam and
Chava. Yeah, Adam and Chava. And then who are their kids? Cain and Hevel. Who did they marry?
Sister.
The sisters. The whole world bunch of Mamzerim.
Then Tamar, then.
Tamar wasn't the mamzer, she was a.
So why they say this is not working anymore? None of them is not working.
Because anymore. Then it was allowed, now it's not.
Tamar was allowed to marry Yehuda.
Huh?
She was allowed to marry Yehuda.
According to many poskim, it was a mitzvah, that's why she did what she did. Because it was a chi of Yibum.
Yeah.
And before Matan Torah, was able to be the father also, not only the children. But this, by the way, this is not uncommon. This case, we have a scenario that the family adopts a baby, and then they want to marry a Kohen.
But it has to be under 3. If it's above 3, then it's a problem.
So you got to tell her that
both is problem.
So you got
to
tell her.
According to, if you go according to Shimon Bar Yochai, then it's okay.
Yeah, but Allah's not like him.
And how about the other opinion that says that it's not because of the fact that they may have been with someone, it's just because it's
the pasuk says, right? So that's why he can't.
So because of that.
And the halacha is he can't. But you can give it the ksuba for the full amount.
You could, you can, and if it happened, you have to divorce. They have to divorce now.
If what?
If the fact. Convert that was under
3. And marries a Kohen?
Yeah.
Because yeah. Allah is like the Chacham. So we'd have to divorce.
What case is it that they're not obligated to divorce? There's one case if they marry, the Kohen marries someone, if they already did it, they could divorce.
If a Kohen marries the daughter of a ger and geyeris, which is not what?
Or divorcee?
No.
If he marries a divorcee,
he has to divorce her. I'm saying if a kohen marries a girl whose father is not Jewish, he's not supposed to marry her. If he married her, they don't have to divorce. A kohen should not marry a daughter of a both convert parents, both geyim. Okay, but if they married, they don't have to get divorced.
Yes, last thank you.
Next week.